What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TFA fam, welcome into the first look at week 9 waivers and streams. Going to go over quarterback, wide receiver, tight end, running back, and then we have some defensive streamers for you at the end. Buckle up, let's go. It is a little afternoon delight for those who are joining us live here. You know, Kev had the day off, too much Halloween fun last week, and I'm still unemployed, so I have nothing else to do. Kev, why don't you kick us off? Let's talk about the week 9 waivers and streams at quarterback, and looks like you are already on from Halloween, and you are in full Bill Belichick mode, and you are on to Christmas.
I am, you know, the annual break out the Christmas hat. You know, I had to go dig it out today to get it ready. But anyways, that's not why people are here. So let's just jump right into the old quarterbacks we got here for week 9. So interesting names this week, I really feel like, that we have here. So we have Carson Wentz starting it off. You know, Carson Wentz continues to play, you know, pretty well for the most part. You know, in real football, I would say he wasn't great. He made some really bad decisions. But for fantasy purposes, pretty solid. So he's completed 27 of 51 passes, 231 yards, and 3 passing touchdowns. 2 to Bay, Michael Pittman, right out the gate. He has now thrown for at least 2 touchdowns in 5 straight weeks. He's a QB10 since week 4 and takes on a Jets defense that ranks 29th in pass DVOA. So absolutely love Carson Wentz this week. Should be a bounce back for them, at least as a team. And then I think for fantasy purposes, he continues to roll on. And then so next one up, Derek Carr. He was really close, like, you know, hitting that threshold that we have for 60% own. But this week they do face a Giants defense. They were on bye this past week, but Carr is currently QB14 in fantasy points per game. He ranks 10th in yards per attempt and air yards per attempt. He also ranks 3rd in deep ball attempts and as well as red zone attempts. Faces a Giants defense that allows 11th most fantasy points and to quarterbacks, that is also 16th to pass DVOA. So I do like Derek Carr quite a bit. Next one up is Tua Tagovailoa. He is 35% roster. Now we're going to have to see, you know, this is basing that the fact that probably Deshaun Watson isn't going to get traded to the Dolphins, or excuse me, to the Dolphins. We'll see if it happens or not. I don't think it's going to with some of the reports that's been out there, but who knows? Maybe they pull the trigger. We've already had one big trade today with Von Miller going to the Rams. The rich get richer over there with the Rams. But so we'll see on that. So as long as he doesn't, Tua gets a great matchup this week against Houston. He completed 21 of 39 for 205 and 1 interception, but he did have 1 rushing touchdown. But this is a great matchup for Miami. You know, last week they were facing the Bills, which, you know, one of the best pass defenses in the league. So wasn't expecting a ton. But Houston does allow the eighth most fantasy points to quarterback, and Tua is averaging 22.3 fantasy points per game since coming off the injury. So the last 3 weeks, he's been really solid. So I like Tua quite a bit. And then you have Daniel Jones on the opposite side of that game. The Raiders have been a decent pass defense, but they currently rank 17th in pass DVOA. Daniel Jones has scored at least 17 fantasy points in four of his last seven games. And there's a decent total on this game already of 47.5. So I do like Daniel Jones, a little bit deeper of an option. They do play Kansas City tonight, so we'll see how he fares tonight. But as things stand, and then I have Justin Fields. He's coming off his by far the best game of the season. Shocker that Matt Nagy wasn't available to coach. And all of a sudden, you know, Justin Fields actually looked competent. Completed 19 of 27 for 175 and one touchdown with one INT. But the real crowning moment was he rushed 10 times for 103 yards, which is massive for his upside. This matchup against Pittsburgh obviously isn't ideal. But if he can maintain his rushing upside, then I think he's in play. There's another guy I want to talk about was Taysom Hill. Listen, with Taysom Hill, he's been on concussion protocol since week 5. And we've seen no improvement. So I don't know if he's going to be available for this week. But if he was, he's a must-add because they get the Atlanta Falcons this week. We've seen him last year in the two games that he actually got to play against them and torched them last year. Possibly, who knows, Michael Thomas might be able to return for this game. But this is a great matchup. So if Taysom Hill can make it back and they don't trade for anybody, they don't add anybody, even if they did, I don't think they would play this week because obviously Jameis Winston was confirmed. He tore his ACL and possibly MCL. Hate to see it for him. He has been playing pretty well. Sucks. But, you know, with that news, if Taysom Hill is available, you know, they did say that had that injury happen, Taysom Hill would have been available. Trevor Siemian still would have came in and played in that game. But that's because I guess they still would have had their Taysom Hill packages, but he would have started the next week. So we'll see on Taysom Hill. If Taysom Hill is available and he can get through concussion protocol this week, which I'm not have high hopes for because he hasn't done it now, I don't know why he would do it. But if he is available and he does play, he's a must-add.
If you had one of those streaming type quarterbacks you've been playing all year, like say like a Sam Darnold, obviously he's in concussion protocol as well. But would you speculatively add somebody like Taysom Hill, like if you had like the roster space just to see if he comes through, or are you just waiting for news and not even bothering adding a second quarterback?
I mean, I don't know if he's that kind of guy, but I mean, with his rushing upside, that's what makes him so intriguing. So he enters the conversation with a lot of these other guys, and it really raises his floor. So I don't mind adding him, but I know there's been some speculation that do they bring Drew Brees back? Do they reach out to Drew Brees and see if he will return? God. I don't know. I know he was asked last night on the NBC broadcast, you know, has your phone rang yet? And I think he made some comment that, you know, basically he's happy where he's at, but who knows? Maybe they do. I mean, they have a really great record right now. They're what, 5-2, just beat the Bucks. And so I could see them, you know, wanting to, figure something out here. I can't imagine that they're going to run all year with Taysom Hill because, I mean, they would be kind of dead. So I don't mind adding him, though, but I don't think he's like a you have to add a must add. But for this 1 week as a streamer, yes, he would be.
All right, let's move on to running back. I guess we kind of buried the lead here. Obviously, with the news of Derrick Henry, looks like he has a season-ending foot injury. And, you know, as much as we trashed him this offseason and said, you know, told everybody to fade him, you still hate seeing somebody as dominant as Derrick Henry go out for the year. So that sucks. It's obviously a big blow to this Titans offense as well. But just to touch on that first, the guys they have on the team right now, I think Jeremy McNichols is an interesting add. I think we're going to have to see this team, no matter who they bring in, no matter what they do at the running back position, I think that we're going to see this team have to open it up a little bit and rely on Ryan Tannehill and this passing offense a little bit more. And Jeremy McNichols has obviously been the pass-catching back. We were worried, you know, or at least it was dampering McNichols' outlook a couple weeks ago when Darrington Evans came back, because obviously they spent the draft capital on him a couple of years ago. Looked well in a couple of the opportunities that he did get, but he's already been placed on IR, and since it's his second time on IR this season, he's done. He can't come back. So McNichols looks like he at least has the pass catching role tied up for the Titans. Mekhi Sargent would be the other name to know here. He would be more of a deeper add, another dynasty league add as well for Sargent. they are already bringing in running backs, looking at other running backs outside of the team. You know, Adrian Peterson, just my God, just what an absolute dusty move to try and bring in somebody like Adrian Peterson. So I'm not going to go crazy here with McNichols or Sargent, because I do think they ultimately bring somebody in like that. Maybe we see a trade being made. You know, Kev, I know in the Discord you were talking about Melvin Gordon, but it looks like that's unlikely. Schefter put out a tweet with some potential targets, and he had Melvin Gordon on there, but then in parentheses next to it, unlikely. So looks like the Broncos are going to continue running with a two-back set, which, can we just free Javonte Williams already, please? You know, you mentioned Von Miller being traded. Just get Melvin Gordon out of there. Anyway, going to go down that rabbit hole. Don't need to do that, but McNichols would be the guy that I would add here for Tennessee, and keep an eye on Mekhi Sargent, and then obviously whatever news comes out this week of who else they bring in. Some other ads here to note, Latavius Murray, only rostered in 30% of ESPN leagues. He's clearly been the most effective running back for the Ravens. Coming off the bye, you know, hopefully he should be healthy. He was injured in the game going into it, did not play. Then they had the bye week. So Latavius is definitely worth an ad here. Mark Ingram, you know, talking about the Saints and that quarterback situation. He did see 8 opportunities on 22 snaps in his first game back with the Saints. You know, we've seen this combo before. We know he's familiar with this offense and with Sean Payton. We know that they would rather not run Alvin Kamara into the ground. So I think we can see his touches bump up maybe slightly and his snaps slightly going forward. So I think he's worth an ad, especially with not being tied to the Houston offense anymore. Savon Ahmed, another timeshare running back. Gaskin dominated the snaps here, had 24 more snaps than Savon Ahmed did, but the touches were a little bit closer. Ahmed did have 9 opportunities to Gaskin's 16. So again, that's another 12-team league or higher ad. Brandon Bolden in a discussion as well, has a little bit of a role here behind Damian Harris. Some guys just to mention real quickly before I talk about the Philly situation. Ronald Jones, Marlon Mack, kind of just wait and sees. The trade deadline is tomorrow for the NFL, so we'll know this before your waivers go through. But those are two guys to keep an eye on as potential trade bait. Sony Michel, worthy of the ad. He's sitting below 50% rostership in ESPN leagues, but he's handcuff-only territory. And then just to touch on this Eagles running back situation, obviously I should say week 8 instead of week 7, but the guy that I'm looking to add here is going to be Boston Scott. All 3 running backs did see double-digit touches. Scott saw the most snaps of the group. It was split 45, 31, and 25 between Scott, Gainwell, and Howard. The other thing here is that's a little shaky is we obviously can't expect the Eagles to dominate going forward the way that they handle the Lions. So Scott is going to be the ad that I'm going with here, but again, not going to go, you know, blow a bunch of fab on it. If he's still available after your waiver runs last week, he's worth an ad. You know, Jordan Howard, more of a desperation ad to me anyway, because again, I don't think we see the Eagles just absolutely handle games going forward the way they did. But, you know, we had a couple start sit questions on Sunday with Kenny Gainwell. And I was kind of warning people not to, you know, not to start him. And that kind of came through. He did see the 13 carries, but only 27 rushing yards. He was clearly the least effective of the group there. So that is what we're looking at waivers. No priority ads, but, you know, some stashes, some secondary ads to look at. And then obviously we have to pay attention to the Derrick Henry situation as well.
Yeah, it's just sad for, I mean, obviously for Derrick, for Derrick Henry, like, it's kind of one of those things, like, you know, not that we were ever calling for an injury for Derrick Henry, but man, the usage has been so incredible. Could that jog be any bigger? Could that jog be any bigger?
Yeah, I'm trying to be a power lifter, weight lifter.
That is amazing. That threw me off. What the heck is that thing? Anyways, oh man. So with Derrick Henry, like I said, like, it's not like something we were calling something that, you know, but with the high heavy usage that he's had, it felt like, you know, that he's really dodged, you know, a bullet, because he's never really had a major injury in his career. And so you hate to see it, especially at his age.
Yeah.
He's what, 27? And so I believe 27, 28. And so he is getting up there in age as well. But, you know, as far as this is just a massive blow to the entire team because their offense runs through Derrick Henry. Like, their offense succeeds because of Derrick Henry. And so, while on one hand, I think this is massive for A.J. Brown, and I think that he ends up being, you know, I think he's the biggest beneficiary. Had a monster week this past week. He's really started to come on when he had that slow start. But now, I mean, this is looking like he probably, I mean, the rest of the play, like, this guy's going to see a massive amount of targets because I don't care who they bring in. It doesn't matter what running back they bring in. Nobody's going to be able to take the place of Derrick Henry and what he's able to do on the ground. And so this changes their entire offense, the complexity of their offense. I think if you have Ryan Tannehill, you're definitely excited. I guess you'd be more happy if you're a Ryan Tannehill owner because now that opens things up. They're going to have to throw the ball at a much higher rate. They're not going to be able to be able to lean on the run like this. Because if they bring in Adrian Peterson, who cares? I mean, Adrian Peterson is a bum. I mean, at this stage of his career, he's old. He's not going to be able to do anything. And so I think that is something that, you know, there's not many players that you could say that they went down non-quarterbacks that would just completely destroy their team.
Real quickly, before we move on from this, news is coming in now that Derrick Henry is going to have foot surgery tomorrow and will be out 6 to 10 weeks. So it seems like 6 is on the very low end and unlikely. 8 is more likely, but they are expecting Henry back this year.
Yeah, but still, so we're looking at it. This is what week? I mean, we're in. So you're looking at week 9. I mean, that's pretty much wraps up his regular season. So for fantasy purposes, he's done, right? Yeah. I for the most part. Now he's a freak of a human. So I don't know. Maybe he can come back earlier than that. And if we're looking at 6 weeks, it would probably be right around fantasy playoff time. So I guess if you own him, you probably got to hold him. You know, at this point, because
hopefully you have an IR spot.
Yeah, because at this point, because if you drop him and he was able to come back by the playoff time, I don't know, like, you would feel really stupid to let go of him. So, you know, we'll see, I guess, on that, how that plays out. I did want to mention, I do think in deeper formats, Ty Johnson, I think he had 18 fantasy points yesterday as well. You know, in this backfield that looks to be just him and Michael Carter for the brand. We'll talk about more of that on another show. But, you know, I was all about Michael Carter this week, and you'll love to see when that hits. But, and then Jared Patterson, he had 12 attempts yesterday. So I don't know if this is going to be more of a trend for this Washington backfield with the amount of touches that he got yesterday. But I would say that's probably more. They are on bye this week, I believe. So for Washington football team, I believe they're on bye. And so we'll see how this shakes out then. But, yeah.
Yeah, as a nice little segue here before we move on from running back to wide receiver, Rollins wants to know what level of wide receiver they could realistically target with Damian Harris as the trade bait.
I don't know. I mean, you're going to have to go after a team that is obviously running back needy. And, you know, I guess you could target, if you don't own Derrick Henry, you could go after the Derrick Henry owner because they are going to be much more desperate now than anybody with that. But you're probably looking at more of like a wide receiver 3. You're not getting some, you know, top end guy. Like, and you're probably not even getting like a Michael Pittman who has started to go off, you know, guys like that. Like, I don't think he's in the conversation. I think you probably, maybe like a Chase Claypool wouldn't be a bad option to go after. I think he would be somebody that I would definitely have some interest in, just off the top of my head. Without a list in front of me of guys that I could really think of, but
maybe like a Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy, I think, could also be an option. But I would, first and foremost, I would go after the Derrick Henry guy, whoever has Derrick Henry, as long as you don't have Derrick Henry.
T. Higgins.
Yeah, he said, okay, yeah, T. Higgins, love that. He actually said my owner had T. Higgins, so yeah, I actually like that a lot. So I think you could actually do that as well.
Then one more trade here, and then Raylan, we'll get to your question here at the end. The owner of Henry has Dak, wants to trade me Dak for CPAT. Cole has Kyler, so needs a quarterback while he's out for the next week or so. Kamara Swift, Henderson, you know, solid at running back, so doesn't really need CPAT. Is that a move that you would make?
No, and this is why, because I get it but Kyler Murray, Kyler Murray may even play this week, right? Like, we don't
have to be like a 1-3.
Yeah. Week-ish. I mean, it's possible he could play this week, but even if he's not, even if he's out, let's say, you know, this week and he comes back, because he's going to get the extra time with the injury happening on Thursday. So it's going to give him a little extra time to be ready. I just don't like trading for quarterbacks. Because once he comes back, then what are you doing? I mean, you have Dak and Kyler clogging up your roster, right? And then we have trade deadline for fantasy coming up as well. And so, like, I think I would just stream. Like, and, you know, Cordell Patterson's not going away. He's going to continue to
especially with Ridley stepping away.
Yes. And so I would just hold, or I would trade for something different. Like, don't trade for a quarterback. Stream. There's got to be more than enough quarterbacks out there that you can stream on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, that running back group is strong right now. But, I mean, that was supposed to be a smash week for Swift, and they couldn't get anything out of him. So it only takes one injury, and then all of a sudden now you're not as strong at running back. So I would keep Cordarrelle, and like Kev said, just stream the position. But, Kev, let's go ahead and jump over to the wide receivers for Week 9. Who do you got there? Who are you looking at for ads at the position?
Yeah, so start off, you know, kind of a couple guys that I think are more must-add guys versus the rest. I'm going to start with Brandon Ayuk. He is rostered in 51% of leagues. He had four receptions on 7 targets for 45 yards and a 2-point conversion. Now, it wasn't a great fantasy day with 10.5 PPR points. This is why I've been kind of saying with him that I feel like people should definitely be holding him if you have him. If you don't, I think he should be rostered. Eventually, he's going to turn it around. And, you know, the 7 targets was the most encouraging to me. He had a 25% target share in this game as well. And this was probably the best that we've seen Jimmy Garoppolo look as well. Now, I will mention that George Kittle is likely to return in Week 9, so that could affect his target share. But eventually, they have to get this guy going. And they've been talking about, you know, him, and he's been looking a little bit better. And he's kind of each week has gotten a little bit more activated. And I think that responded with that, with the 7 targets that he saw. And so, you know, in 12-team and above, like, I think Brandon Ayuk, if he's sitting out there, I would definitely look to add him. Next guy up is more widely available than Brandon Ayuk, and that's Devontae Parker. Only rostered in 35% of leagues. Week 8, he had 8 receptions, 11 targets, 85 yards. Did not find the end zone, but he still had 16.5 PPR points. And he had a 28.2% target share. Was second in the team in targets, only behind Jaylen Waddle. And he has at least 7 targets in every single game this year. So the volume is definitely there. And they get a fantastic matchup against Houston this week. And whatever they do at quarterback, whether they stick with Tua or they go to Deshaun Watson, things are going to be looking up there. Now, you know, we'll see when Will Fuller comes back as well, back into the fold. He should be coming back here before too long as well. So one thing I'll also say, and I know we're not on the tight ends, but if I had Mike Gesicki right now, I would seriously be considering trading him. Because when they get all these guys back, we kind of saw it this past week. He got bailed out a little bit. He did not have the same monster game that we saw before. But with so many teams needing tight ends, once Will Fuller returns as well, with Devontae Parker healthy and Jaylen Waddle, there's just not going to be enough volume to go around for Mike Gesicki to maintain the pace that he's been on this year. So that is a move that I would be looking to make as well. Darnell Mooney, 48% rostered. 6 receptions on 9 targets, 64 yards, no touchdowns, 12.4 PPR points, but he did have another, you know, 25% target share. He has double-digit fantasy points in 4 of his last 7 games. He has 32.9% of the market share of the air yards in this offense. Now, I get it. This offense hasn't been as fantastic. This was by far the best performance we've seen. Now, next week, they get a tough matchup against Pittsburgh, but Darnell Mooney looks like to be the only wide receiver that's really locked in with Justin Fields. It ain't Allen Robinson. I know that. Allen Robinson just continues to just squander away. Hopefully they trade Allen Robinson. That's what I'm hoping happens between now and tomorrow. But I don't have great hopes because Chicago is terrible. But Darnell Mooney looks like the only guy with bye weeks and everything else that's going on. Darnell Mooney continues to make for a pretty solid flex options on most weeks. And then the rest of the guys, I think, here, Rashad Bateman. I'm shocked that he's still sub 30% rostered in leagues. Like, I know he was on bye this past week, but he deserves to be rostered, I think, at 100% of leagues. You know, with this offense, we've talked about how Baltimore has thrown the ball more at a higher rate than they have in years past. And Rashad Bateman stepped right in and just took right over. And so I think he is a viable wide receiver 3 or 4 every single week moving forward. So he is probably one of my top ads. If not, you know, if you are good at running back and you need a wide receiver and Rashad Bateman sitting out there, I'm adding him for sure. I'm spending a decent amount of fab. I would spend a number one waiver ad on him because I think he could definitely explode over the second half of the season. So, and then from there, Jamison Crowder, you know, had, you know, obviously, you know, Mike White was a thing yesterday, beating the Cincinnati Bengals, threw for what? 400 yards in that game as they pulled off the win. But, you know, Crowder rostered in 18% of leagues, but he's only a PPR-only guy for me. He hauled in 8 of 9 for 84 yards, finished second in targets, only behind Michael Carter. Love to see it. Takes on a vulnerable Colts secondary in week 9. So I do kind of like him. It sounds like Mike White's going to be the starter here moving forward while Zach Wilson is hurt. And then a couple other guys here, you know, Christian Kirk, Russell Gage, you know, with Calvin Ridley stepping away from football essentially here in this, for this team. I don't know when he's going to come back. He may not even come back this year. I don't know. It's kind of an odd situation here with him while he's dealing with this whatever personal matter he has to deal with. But Russell Gage now becomes like the wide receiver one in this offense. I know he did absolutely nothing yesterday, but I think moving forward in PPR formats, Russell Gage does make some sense. And then Jamal Agnew, you know, I kept not – like after last week, I was like, I'm not going to talk about this guy. This guy's nothing to talk about. But, I mean, I guess we got to follow the targets here. Because Jamal Agnew has 3 straight weeks of double-digit fantasy points, and he had 12 targets this past week. Excuse me, 6 receptions on 12 targets for 38 yards and a touchdown for Jamal Agnew. He continues to produce. I don't think he's a must-add by any stretch of the imagination, but if he's going to continue to be this involved in this offense, it's like Laviska Shenault doesn't even exist. Like, hey, we got this guy Laviska, but we know we're not going to use him because we're going to use fucking Jamal Agnew, whatever.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Urban Meyer's an idiot. Anyways, so Jamal Agnew deserves to be rostered. And we did get good news as well about James Robinson. We thought maybe he had a serious injury, but they said today that it's not really anything to really be concerned with, and he might even play this upcoming week. So I did want to mention that. But Elijah Moore, listen, we've kind of been waiting for him to pop. He finally had his best game. Six receptions on 6 targets, 64 yards. I think he's viable. Rondell Moore is hard to trust on a week-to-week basis. And then you have these other guys, Van Jefferson, Tyler Johnson, Nico Collins, Amon-Ra St. Brown. None of those guys have incredibly high ceilings. But I think in a pinch, on a week, if you have waivers or you have some guys that are hurt or whatever, I think they're viable options. Tyler Johnson actually had 6 catches, 64 yards on 6 targets. So while Antonio Brown is out, he's going to remain the wide receiver 3 in this offense with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So don't mind Tyler Johnson adding him while Antonio Brown is out. And then some deep league guys, just kind of the same guys every week. Brian Edwards, I could have probably put him over in the 12-team league ad. But I think when Darren Waller comes back, I think, you know, he fell a bump in targets the previous week while Darren Waller was out. But I would expect Darren Waller to be back. So,
yeah, then Olamide Zaccheaus as well with in deep leagues with Calvin Ridley stepping away. But let's go ahead and move on to tight end, and then we'll wrap things up with defense. And then we'll get to the questions that are chilling in the chat right now. If you're looking for someone to pick up and hold through the next couple of weeks, and you're not just looking for a one-week streamer, I'm going with Tyler Conklin and Patty Freiermuth here to lead things off. I would lean Tyler Conklin just because the matchup this week gets a matchup against the Ravens. should be a situation where, you know, Zimmer's hand is forced and we see the Vikings have to pass a little more often. In this game, just last night against Dallas, he saw 7 targets, which is actually only second behind Adam Thielen. He saw 9. So, like I said, after after this week with the Ravens, I like Tyler Conklin going forward as well. If you need someone in this kind of range, gets matchups with Chargers, Green Bay, San Fran, and Detroit. And Patty Freiermuth on the other side, you know, you love to see the Penn State great come down with that sick tight, that sick touchdown catch. Has a matchup with Chicago this week. Isn't great. Chicago's actually allowing the second fewest half PPR points per game to the position. But after that, it really opens up. Detroit, Chargers, Cincy, Ravens, Vikings, and Titans over the next several games for Patty Fry. Then if you're just looking for one-week streamers, looking at Evan Engram and CJ Uzomah, for Engram, after he's returned since week 3, he is tied for 7th among tight ends with most routes run, tied for 10th in targets, 9th in receptions. But the reason we're not talking about him and the reason why he's not more widely owned is he's down at 16th in targets and has no touchdowns. So obviously that's really hurting his output. The numbers there, you know, in terms of his usage, they are there. Routes run, everything is there. Beggars can't be choosers at the tight end position. So Evan Engram, you know, he's worth a dart throw. And then CJ Uzomah is kind of the opposite of Evan Engram, right? Still there with a bunch of routes run. Engram is seeing way more opportunity. I think CJ Uzomah in that same time is down at like 16th in targets. But CJ is seeing, you know, the yards, he's seeing the touchdowns, gets a matchup against Cleveland, but then they are on bye. So I'm not looking to, you know, pick up and hold CJ Uzomah. I think, you know, despite some of his strong output in recent weeks, he is still in the waiver-only type of, the stream-only type of position here for tight ends. And then just to touch on a couple of defenses to look at for week 9, Cowboys, they get a home matchup against Denver. One thing to monitor here is Trevon Diggs. He did have an ankle injury, I believe, did come out of that game. So it wouldn't be as juicy. But, you know, with Denver selling off some pieces with Von Miller, obviously they are not expecting to really compete this year. So, and, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is Teddy Bridgewater. It's not something that, you know, we're fading or, you know, afraid of that matchup. So I think the Cowboys make some sense. And if you need a deeper option, looking at Miami, after they, you know, started looking like they were a complete sieve on defense, they did a pretty good job of keeping Buffalo in check in this game. And now they get a matchup against Houston. So even if, you know, Tyron is back, like whatever, it doesn't matter. The only thing they're going to have to worry about is Brandon Cooks. So, you know, Miami in this spot could be a decent streaming option. And then the Chargers are pretty widely available as well. Let's go back up and get some of these questions. Raylan wanted to know a little while ago if we should be streaming Jones or Carr. I think you talked about both of them in your waivers. So is there anyone, you know, are you leaning toward either of those guys this week?
Yep. For me, it would be definitely Derek Carr. I just think he's better suited, better opportunities here. And I think it's a better matchup. The Giants defense has been not great. And so I definitely think that it would be Derek Carr, that the guy that I would most likely want. I do want to mention too, while you were that I was kind of looking at some stuff on Twitter and see what was going on, make sure we don't miss anything. And there has been some belief that maybe Taysom Hill can clear protocol this week, but we'll see. Because, I mean, he did not practice. It was all DNP last week. So there's steps to the protocol he has to go through, and he didn't even start them. But we'll see. So I think there is some belief that Taysom Hill could return this week. And if he can, like I said, I do think that he would be near the top of the guys that I would want to roster, especially against Atlanta.
What about Tannehill as a streaming option this week going up against the Rams? You know, obviously, you're going to be in a situation where you're probably going to have to pass more often. Is that a situation you're looking at, or would you rather pick up Wentz or Teddy? So we have the Colts going up against the Jets, Teddy is going up against. I just said it.
I would probably prefer Wentz because I mean you got with Wentz going against the Jets and then Tannehill going against the Rams. Like I said, they're going to have to throw the ball a lot more. But that, I mean, you're still facing one of the best defenses, and now they're going to have Von Miller back there as well with Aaron Donald. I would probably lean towards going with Wentz in this game, but I think further after that, I think in better matchups, Tannehill is gonna be pretty viable.
Yeah, Jedi obviously talked about James Robinson dodging major injury, could possibly play this week. I mean, if you're desperate, I guess Hyde, you know, you could add him, but hopefully, you know, you have the ability to go and grab some of the other guys that I talked about during the running back portion of the show. I mean, I just, you know, Hyde's dusty and it's still the Jags. So
yeah,
they're
facing the Bills this week, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, I don't want any part of any running back.
You're right.
At least guys like this going against the Bills.
Michael Chapp is 3-5, Herbert and Keenan Allen. If I could do Gaskin for Hurst, should I go after him or no? Herbert has been so inconsistent this year.
He has. And I actually, in my own home league, I own Justin Herbert. And I concur that he had that stretch of those three straight games where he just kind of went off. And then the last few weeks just hasn't really been the same. And, you know, even yesterday, he came out great. Looked like it was going to be a good week. He scored that touchdown to start the first quarter off. And then kind of fell apart after that. I think he did score one last, you know, garbage time touchdown that kind of saved his day a little bit. But I just don't like trading for quarterbacks. It's kind of the same thing I said. Like, I don't think you're doing yourself. And if you have Herbert and Hurts, and I don't love it. Like, I would say no. I would say if you feel that way about Justin Herbert, then I would rather just stream on certain matchups and stuff like that. I'm not. I just don't want to trade for a quarterback. And like we kind of talked about with Malcolm Brown out and gone, like Myles Gaskin probably continues to see a bigger workload. And I don't like trading running backs because I know people will say, "Well, I'm deep at running back," but as we've seen, these guys get hurt at such an incredible rate that could change in an instant. And so you can go from somebody who has a lot of, you know, three or four running backs you feel great about to maybe having one or two. You know, I mean, the good news is hopefully, fingers crossed, hopefully CMC is supposed to be back this week. He is eligible to return this week. And there's been strong feelings that he can, barring a setback. So if he doesn't have a setback, he is expected to return this week. And then you also have Saquon, who, you know, started to ramp up a little bit last week, started to get in some work on the side, and there was some thought that maybe he could return for week 8, but it was reported that he probably is better off. He's probably not going to come back to week 9, and so I think there's a real shot that Saquon returns week 9, and so we could get him back. Dave Montgomery's eligible to return this week, but we have no timetable whatsoever. Matt Nagy did discuss him today and said that basically said that he's improving every day, nothing else. He has not practiced yet. He has not done anything. And so we'll see on David Montgomery as well. So we're hopefully going to get some of these guys back, right? And so, but I don't like trading running backs because of this. Because any week you could lose a couple of these guys, and now you have depth to now you have none.
Speaking of trading running backs and speaking of depth, Santiago wants to know if you would trade Mixon and Carter for Dalvin Cook.
No, I would not. I mean, Dalvin Cook hasn't looked like great this year. I mean, he's been okay. He's had some good starts, and then he's been hurt, you know, and stuff like that. And so dealing with all that stuff, I think Dalvin Cook could turn it around. But Joe Mixon has looked great. And then Michael Carter, I told you it was coming. Told you it was coming. And it came. And he dropped 30 fantasy points yesterday. Because I just think he's going to continue to get fed the passing, pass-catching volume, right? When you have quarterbacks like Mike White, they're going to look to check down. And that's exactly what he did. He went with the short and intermediate stuff. And, you know, I think guys like Michael Carter is going to be the beneficiary of that. And so I'm not trading Michael Carter right now. I think he is a absolute buy.
Yeah. Love to see it. Mark that down on things you love to see. Yongo is has a fantasy matchup on the line here. She has Hill. Opponent has Kelsey with a 3-point lead, full PPR. That's close.
It's going to be really close. I mean,
that's close.
For the most part, it's usually like a Hill or Kelce type game.
Right.
And I don't really lean one over the other tonight in this game. We know the Giants' secondary is not good, but it's all going to depend on how this team responds. I mean, we know that the Chiefs are coming off probably the worst loss I've ever seen. I know it's the worst loss I've ever seen with Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback. And this is at home. It's on Monday Night Football, so obviously they should come out hyped. But I think it's going to be close. I would say it's a 50-50 shot because we know Hill could go off for, 40 fantasy points and just crush. But it's also, maybe he gets 12 fantasy points and Travis Kelce. They're both banged up. We'll see. But I would say it's 50-50 at best.
Here another matchup on the line. She has Booker or Tony versus Daryl Williams. And now this other opponent has a 10-point lead, full PPR. Rocking with Tony for the upside, right?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. The only concerning part would be is a re-injury and then he's out again, right? But
right.
I think you got to go Kadarius Tony.
Yeah, but if you need upside anyway, if it were just Booker or Tony and you need to make up 10 points, Booker's probably the play. But the fact they have Daryl Williams on the other side as well, go Tony there. Derrick Henry back in time for the fantasy playoffs. Doesn't really seem like it. Hopefully you have an IR spot where you can hold him. They just came out and said 6 to 10 weeks. 6 would be super, super crazy to see that. More likely in the 8-week time frame. And we're already, week 9? So it doesn't leave a lot of room or a lot of hope, but it's possible. Like I said, hopefully you either have deep benches where you can hold him or an IR spot where you can stash him.
So just by looking at it, just kind of looking at the weeks we have left to kind of see where we stand with this, we're looking at about what I would say. I think that's like week 15. That's 18, 17, 16. So, yeah, we've got week 16 would put him right around 8 weeks out, right?
Yeah.
And so that's obviously the week before. Yeah, the week before fantasy championships. So you would get him for the fantasy playoffs if he's able to get back by week 8. Because week 8 would put him right around, the 21st of December. And that would be week 16. So that would put him right around the start of the fantasy playoffs. So
yeah. So
I would also say that it's also greatly going to depend on where the Titans stand at that time. If the Titans just go on a losing streak and they're done, and let's say they're not going to be able to make the playoffs. I know right now they're in great shape with their record. But if they go and lose, 5 or 6 of these next games and they somehow, get supplanted by like the Colts, the Colts take over this division, maybe they don't bring them back.
Yes, AP is working out for the Titans, which I just why? Honestly, why? What?
I don't understand. I never, ever understand those moves. That why are we bringing in this guy? Like, I guess he's a known commodity, he's a name. But, there has to be somebody that you could trade for around the league that maybe has a little more juice than this.
One would think, right? One would think. Anyway, the Grizz Monday Night Football tonight, Dante Pettis or DeMarcus Robinson? Or wait. Okay, yeah, it looks like Slayton is definitely back. Shepard should be back. So, Dante
Pettis. The Grizz. Is Byron Pringle out there? Is he available? Because that's who I would want. It's not DeMarcus Robinson. It's Byron Pringle. Byron Pringle, actually, last week, I think he had 6 catches for 70 yards or something last week.
I think he led you guys for
receiving
production.
And so, if Byron, I don't know if he is, but if Byron Pringle's out there, add him. Do not add DeMarcus Robinson. But if you don't have a choice, with Slayton and Shepard and Kadarius Toney back, I don't think Pettis would be, I guess it's DeMarcus Robinson, but I wouldn't feel great about it.
What about Diggs and Mixon for Jefferson and Cook? Is that closer than Mixon and Carter for Cook?
I don't want, I don't want Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook, two guys from the same team, right?
Yeah.
His chances of both of them going off in the same game is not great. And so it's kind of like one or the other. And so, no, I would much rather have Diggs and Mixon.
Panthers D or Cowboys D next week for Pierce. Panthers go up against the Patriots, Cowboys up against the Broncos. I would probably lean the Panthers if they're available. Or if you have them, I would not pick up the Cowboys defense. I would just go Panthers going up against Mac Jones. I know Mac Jones has looked pretty good as of late, but he's still been turning the ball over a little bit. As of last week, he was, I think, maybe 10th in sacks, something like that. So you can definitely get there. Obviously, with Shaq being back, that was a big boost for that Panthers defense. Still have, you know, Brian Burns, Gross Matos, and then Stephon Gilmore made his debut for the Panthers last week as well. And then you have the revenge narrative going up against the Pats as well. So I would lean Carolina first and then the Cowboys second. Porter, it does not look like he's going to be out for the season, but like Kev was just saying, a lot of it's going to depend on where they sit whenever it's time for Henry to come back. If they, you know, if they just go end up only winning one or two of the next few games and they're completely out of it, it's not going to make sense to bring him back. And last one here, we'll wrap this up. Jedi mind tricks. Should I try trading Chubb for Henderson?
I don't think you're going to be able to with Chubb coming off the injury and not really playing that great. I don't think you'd be able to make that move. Honestly.
Yeah.
But if you could, man, did I ever think I would be here?
Right.
But the opportunity that Daryl Henderson's seeing is so massive right now. And I just don't think.
In a much better offense.
Yeah. And Chubb's still not seeing the pass catching work. I mean, they gave that to, you know, I mean, he got like Johnson. One target, I think.
And then Conklin going out yesterday as well is a big hit for that offensive line.
So, yeah, I think I would if you can. Yeah, I mean, I think I would. It's the only thing that scares me about Daryl Henderson is if he can stay healthy right. or not. But
that's,
as long as he can, then, yeah, I think moving. Yeah, I think he is. I think that's what I would do. Crazy to say.
Yeah, I know. Did not think that we would be saying that at this point of the season. But, guys, that is going to wrap it up. If you would like to, the Discord is absolutely free. If you want to jump into the TFA community with the rest of us, we're always over there talking trades and waivers and starts and sits, that sort of thing. DFS, props, all of it. We got you covered from A to Z over there. I'll also be dropping a link for some TFA merch if you would like to buy some. We have shirts, hoodies, long sleeve tees. We have women's tees as well. So we got you covered over there on the merch side as well. So rankings coming out on Wednesday. Obviously, this is the Waivers and Streamer show, so nothing else coming out. If any big trade kind of happens, we'll make sure we come out with a reaction piece to that as well. But that's going to wrap it up. Good luck tonight for those of you who have anything riding on Monday Night Football. And let's get ready for Week 9. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.